Bibles to the book of Matthew. I am here by faith. I ask God to help me get better. My treatments are done, so here I am. This is about as good as my voice will get. Oh, I got to do this. Maybe this will help. All right. So not as bad as you thought. I am so glad to be here. I love this church. Love your pastor. Love his family. Love what the Lord is doing here. I preached Thursday night in Ohio. My last treatment was Tuesday. I kind of whisper preach, but I got a little bit down there sometimes. It'll get extra. And they say it'll get better. Doctors are pleased with my progress. And I'm not strong, but I read this verse. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away. For she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. But yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I want to talk to you about crummy Christians. Lord, use me, empower me, do through me what I cannot do through myself. And Father, I wish to acknowledge I do not need your help any more than I ever did. Because it was never about my voice or my strength. I was merely a vessel in your hand. Use me to do your will. Save those who don't know Jesus. Draw your children to yourself. Straighten out our wrong thinking. And make this a good time in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus leaves the nation of Israel and he goes into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. No sooner does he get there than a woman from that land, pagan land. Sidon is the same as Zidon. Jezebel was queen of the Zidonians. And she comes to him and she says, Lord, hey, she knew he was the master. Have mercy on me, the son of David. She knew he was the Messiah. If you don't know that you have a home in heaven, you can know it before you leave today. But you have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him. Believe that he was born of a virgin, always been God, became man in Bethlehem's manger, died on the cross, shed his blood, rose from the grave to pay for your sin. Not good works, not church membership. Not giving away money, not baptism, just Jesus. And if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, save me, he'll forgive every sin you've ever committed. You'll never have to answer for a bad thing you've ever done. And the moment you die, you go straight to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can know that before you leave today. Well, the Lord Jesus, I want you to think about this. One of our problems is we think we know the Bible, so we don't pay attention to it. Here's what he says. Lady, first, you know what he says? Nothing. Nothing. He answered her not a word. Is that nice? I didn't bring any books this time. Too much trouble. I'm too weak to haul them all. But if you want to just go by the back table and leave me money, you can do that. Supposing I had brought my books and you came by and bought a bunch and you said, thank you, Brother Willette, for being here. And I said, and you said, that was a good sermon. And I said, and you said, enjoy your time here. And I said, what would you say? What a nice guy. He's so humble, he didn't think he was worthy to talk to me. No, you wouldn't. You'd say, what a jerk. First class, double barrel, triple stitch jerk. I bought his books. I lied to him, told him it was a good sermon. He wouldn't even talk to me. That's what Jesus did. He answered her not a word. Then the disciples got in the act. They said, Lord, send her away. That was one of their favorite ministries. Send them away ministry. That's what they said. When the crowd followed them, when they were going to have a day off, send them away. They have nothing to eat. Now, 44 years at the same church, I do understand that. My dad used to say that he often felt called to the uninhabited fields of the world. Think about that. And the Lord Jesus talks now to her, and he says, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He says, lady, I can't help you. You're not a Jew. Is that nice? Suppose I'm not eating, I'm just taking protein shakes and things like that. Suppose I was able to eat, I will be soon, I hope. And the preacher said, hey, you want to go to lunch? Sure. Where do you want to go? I said, oh, I love Mexican food. He says, there's a great Mexican restaurant run by people from Mexico. We drive up to the restaurant, and there's a sign that says, no gringos served here. Is that nice? See, the Bible says, in Christ, there's neither Greek nor Jew. Amen. Barbarian nor Scythian, bond nor free, circumcision nor uncircumcision, Christ is all in and all. Amen. If you know Jesus, and I know Jesus, what unites us as him, in him, is way bigger than any differences we have. Amen. Well, I wonder what she's going to do now. If I'm her, I'm getting ready to check out. I'm thinking, whatever I heard about Jesus must not be so. He ignores me. His disciples ask him to get rid of me. He says he won't help me because I'm Jewish. Here's what she does. Verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now, it's not very nice to call somebody a dog in our culture. A new girl came to school and somebody said, what's she like? Oh, she's a dog. Wow, give me your cell phone number. But in Bible times, it was about the worst thing you could call somebody. And he said, I can't take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Time to call some government agency. Time to get the news people out there. Look what he's done to me. What's she going to do now? And the Bible says in verse 27, she said, truth, Lord. You're right. I'm a dog. But, if you had to use that analogy, could I take it a step further? Even the dogs get crumbs from the master's table. She acknowledges him as the master, willing to call herself a dog. Here's what the Bible says. The Lord Jesus does then. He says, oh, woman, great is thy faith. be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, sometimes people preach this and they say the Lord wasn't going to help her. His ministry had not yet opened to the Gentiles. Wonderful lesson we heard from Brother Brandon from the book of Romans explaining a lot of that today. Great, the great lesson. You will go to much bigger churches and not find as good a Bible teaching as you had here this morning. Excellent. But the Lord was moved by her concern and her consistency, and so he changed his mind. Question: does Jesus ever change his mind? Not a trick question. Let's try this one. Jesus Christ, the same. When? Yesterday, today, forever. I'm the Lord God, I change not. So, if the Lord Jesus knew at the beginning, thank you, brother, what he was going to do at the end, why did he make her go through all this? Why didn't he help her right away? Five lessons. And my motto as I get older is, if you can't be good, be short. I'm probably extra short today. Number one, Jesus wants us to be persistent with him. The Bible says, ask, you shall receive, seek, you shall find, knock, the door shall be opened unto you. They tell me those words in the Greek language are in a continuous sense. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. I don't know Greek, but I think they're right, because in that same passage, the Lord Jesus tells about the importunate friend who kept asking and asking and asking. Now, why would the Lord Jesus want us to keep asking? Supposing that the moment you got saved, God gave you enough money for the rest of your life, every need you ever have in a bank account, wouldn't that be good? Well, maybe not. Maybe some people waste it. Maybe some people only have 50 cents in the bank account and worry about their longevity. But he didn't do that. He gives us our daily bread. He wants us in touch with him, depending on him daily. He wants us to keep on asking. Keep on asking. Well, supposing every time you needed something, you asked for it and it was there right away. Lord, I need a new. Oh, it just drove up. Thank you. Would that be good? God has designed it that he wants us to keep on communicating with him about our needs. My dad prayed for his dad to be saved for 17 years. Led him to Christ 3 weeks before he died. My dad kept asking all that time. Why? I'm not sure I know all the reasons. But I do know the more I pray, the closer I get to God. The longer I pray, the more excited I am when the answer comes. The greater my need, and the longer I beseech God for it, the more glory I give him when things come through, and the closer I get to him during the process. Now, I want you to know there are loved ones of yours God wants to save. There are financial burdens God wants to meet. There are health issues God wants to take care of. There are family crises God wants to resolve, but he wants you to keep on asking. Number two, we worship Jesus because of who he is, not because of what he does for us. The Lord Jesus did nothing for this woman, and she worshiped him, and the word indicates she may have lain down flat on the ground in front of him. People say, well, God's been good to me, I got a raise. God's been good to me, I got a great deal in a new car. God's been good to me, my health is restored. God's been good to me, my wayward son came back. God is good, and you should praise him during all those times, but God is good when you lose your house. God is good when your family falls apart. God is good when you get fired from your job for no reason. God is good when you can't keep up the payments on the car. God is good because he's God, and he's always good, and he's always worthy of our worship. We worship Jesus because of who he is, not because of what he does for us. Number three, we must accept Jesus' view of us. Lady, I can't take the children's bread and give it to dogs. You're right, Lord. I'm a dog. Preacher, how long have you been pastor of this church? 16 years. I'm going to guess during that time maybe somebody left. It's always the same. They come up, they say, preacher, I love you. You're good to me. You take care of our family. The other day, you got new Sunday school classes. We got the best classroom. And I'm just tired of you being so good to me and not good to others who deserve it more. If you don't start being better to them and not so good to me, I'm out of here. Is that about right? I'm going to guess in 16 years, you've done some marriage counseling. Always the same. The woman comes in. Men have no problems that they acknowledge. Preacher, I don't think I can stay in this marriage. What's the problem? It's my husband. What about him? Well, every morning he gets up and makes me breakfast in bed. Gets the kids lunch ready, gets them ready, gets them off to school. Every time we go to eat, he picks the restaurant I want. If he has a hint I want something, he buys it for me. I'm sick and tired of him doing so much for me. You tell him he better start letting me do more for him and do less for me, or I'm done with it. Is that about right? Let me give you a verse. Only by pride cometh contention. Only. We may have differences. I, for the last few years, been driving Hyundais. I'm driving one now. I'm surprised. Man, they're fabulous cars. Now, you may love a Hyundai, and I may, you may love a Honda, and I may love a Hyundai. That's all right. We can have a difference. We won't have contention unless there's pride. Let me talk to you, church. You're building a building. I build a bunch of them. Always a chance for contention. Well, I think it ought to face this way. I think we'd have this color. I think we ought to have this kind of a facility. Now, I'm sure your preacher is wise enough not to vote on colors. You'll either have a dissension or the Rainbow Baptist Church. He will present a plan that has been prayed over, studied over, looked over, given expert advice, and you'll vote yes. I didn't say yes or no. I said you'll vote yes. Nobody will get everything they want, but it doesn't matter. What matters, you have a beautiful facility for the glory of God. And you'll be able to reach more people out there than you do back here. A whole lot more people know where you are. Some people actually drive by, see the building, and stop in and visit. That'll actually happen. Not a lot, but it'll actually happen some. But the Bible says, well, let me do it this way. Brother Oliver, you know what's good about you? Nothing. Brother Brandon, you know what's good about you? Nothing. You know what's good about me? Nothing. Finish it if you know it. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Well, then why do you get upset when you don't get your way? In your marriage, at your workplace, in your ministry. Jesus said, you're a dog. She said, yes, sir. You ever know a dog to get unhappy because the neighbor's dog had a prettier leash? Or a fancier food dish? Nah. You give a dog a little food and water, you pet it once in a while, it's happy forever. Hey, maybe instead of brother and sister, we should call each other dog and doggess. We must accept Jesus' view of us. Number four, we have an expression we use, saying we have a place at the table. Democrats get elected. Unions say we'll have a place at the table. Republicans get elected. Business says we'll have a place at the table. We mean by that our ideas will be given attention, our wants will be given some consideration. Jesus said, not fit to give children's food to dogs. She said, truth, Lord, but the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Here's number four. You don't need a place at the table. You just need a crumb. A crumb from the table of the Lord Jesus is better than a five-course meal at a five-star restaurant. You don't need to be noticed. You don't need to be acknowledged. You don't need to be given attention to. You just need a crumb. Our church was founded in 19, was started meeting 1950, organized 1952. I came in 1975 and disorganized it. They never had their own building till 1963. 13 years of meeting, 11 years organized. They finally got a building. There was a man, he's in heaven now, his name was Marv Deneau. He was a builder. He did more than anybody else to help build that little building. Worked hard. A lot of people worked hard. Preacher. A man named Don Seeger. He's in heaven now. Got up on that Sunday. And he thanked everybody for all their help in the building. But he forgot one person. Marv Deneau. Marv Deneau's grandchildren come to my church now, our church. Marv Deneau's mother-in-law was there when I got there. I went to visit him. He wouldn't come. That was 1975. Hadn't been back since 1963. I did his funeral. I did his wife's funeral. He liked me. I was his friend. But he never came back. That's a terrible oversight. But you know what that proves? Listen carefully. That proves he did what he did for the attention of man, not for the glory of God. You don't need a place at the table. A crumb is just fine. Lesson number five. I read you through verse 28. I did not read verse 29. Verse 29 says, and Jesus departed from thence, came nigh unto a sea of Galilee, went up into a mountain, and sat down there. So here's something interesting. At the beginning of our story, Jesus leaves the nation of Israel, and he goes in the land of Tyre and Sidon. At the end of our story, he goes back to the nation of Israel. Wow. It's the only time he leaves the borders of Israel. That lady lucked out, didn't she? Well, it just so happened. The only time Jesus ever left Israel, she bumped into him. And the only thing he did, that the Bible records, while he was there, was to help her. I want you to imagine it. You're friends with this lady. And you have a cell phone. I know they don't have cell phones, but imagine that. And you know she's going to see Jesus, and you're keeping in touch with her, texting, checking things out. Hey, how's it going? Well, not so good. He ignored me. Well, maybe he's busy. Maybe she can talk to you in a minute. He's checking on what's happening now. Well, the disciples just said, send her away. Oh, he'll straighten them out. Hey, what happened? Said he can't help me because I'm not Jewish. Really? Well, I don't know what to say. I'll keep praying. Hey, anything else happen? Yep. Good. What happened? He called me a dog. He used that word. Wow. There is nothing in the story to give any hope to this woman. All the way to the very end. But the only thing Jesus is there to do is to help her. If you miss everything, don't miss this. Even when it seems the Lord Jesus is not helping you. Seems that way sometimes, doesn't it? He may be going out of his way to help you. To do just exactly what you need. Jesus wants us to be persistent with him. We worship him because of who he is, not because of what he does. We must accept his view of us. We don't need a place at the table. A crumb is just fine. And even when it seems he's not helping us, he may be going out of his way just to help us. Lord, guide me as I extend the invitation. Work in our hearts, and we'll thank you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around, please. I wonder who's here this morning. You say, Brother Willett, I'm God's child. And I need to put one or more of these lessons in practice in my life. And I wish you'd pray with me about it. If you say that, would you hold up your hand high? God bless you. 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 Put your hands down. Jesus wants us to be persistent with him. We worship him because of who he is, not because of what he does. We don't need a place at the table just a crumb is fine. Maybe when it seems he's not helping us at all, he may have gone out of his way just to help us. We must accept his view of us. I want to ask another question. No one who's here this morning, you say, if I died right now, I do not know whether or not I go to heaven. I'd like to know that for sure, but I don't. And I wish you'd pray for me. Now, wait a minute. I didn't call any attention to anybody who raised their hand a moment ago. I will not now call any more attention to you than I did to them then. But I'd like to include you in the prayer. Who would say, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I would like to be sure. Pray for me. Slip your hand up high, would you, right now? Spirit of God, speak in your heart. Not sure of heaven. I want to be sure. Pray for me. Father, you know our hands that have been raised. You know our hearts that are behind them. I pray for each hand. I pray for those who did not lift a hand but should have. And ask you to work in every life. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed.